This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. So I haven't made any new episodes for a while. I took a bit of a break, but I'm back again and I'm very thankful to be back to make a new episode again. And today we are talking about thankfulness, the wonder of thankfulness and the difference that it can make to our lives. Someone once said that giving thanks or being thankful is like cleaning your windows. It doesn't actually change what's out there, what you see out there, but it helps you to see it more clearly. So there's a story in the Bible about thankfulness, and I have some other stories from history about thankfulness, and I have some songs as well. So the Bible story, Jesus and his disciples, they were traveling to Jerusalem, and on the way they saw a little group of men standing outside a village. Now they knew what these guys were. They were outside the village because they had a horrible disease that meant they had to live outside the village. They had to live by themselves. They couldn't live in the village because they could spread their sickness. Now it was a horrible skin disease. In that time, there was no cure, and so they just had to live alone outside the towns. They couldn't live in their homes or with their family, so it was just a really horrible sickness. Now, when these men saw Jesus, they cried out to him and said, "Jesus, have pity on us." Now, the disciples wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere near these guys. These were guys you stayed away from. They were unclean. But Jesus went straight up to them. He wasn't afraid of them. He didn't think they were unclean, you know, like what other people did. And he said to them, "Go straight to the priest." Now they had to go to the priest to, the priest would have to say that they were not sick anymore. Like if they thought they were better, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would, be able to say that they were clean. So he said, "Go to the priest, and when he's examined you, he will tell you that you're all better." So there's 10 guys. They look awful because this leprosy is a horrible skin disease. It makes you not look nice. So they obeyed Jesus, and they started going to the priest. And as they went, they saw that Jesus had healed their bodies. Their skin looked normal again and healthy. And so with shouts of joy, they started running. They thought that, the sooner they got to the priest, the sooner they could go home, go back to see their families, go back to their normal lives again. But one out of those 10 men stopped. You know, they'd come to Jesus for healing, and Jesus had given them that. And so, all of these guys, they all would have been thankful. You know, they all would have appreciated that they had their health back. But this guy stopped and he turned around and he went back to Jesus. And he knelt down at Jesus' feet and he thanked Jesus for his healing. And Jesus looked at him and he looked around and he said, "There are 10 of you. I healed 10 of you. Where are the other 9 men? You're the only one who's come back to say thank you." And Jesus helped him up and he said, "You can go now. Your faith in me has made you better." So there were 10 men that Jesus healed. He did an amazing miracle in their body and in their life. And one of them came back and thanked Jesus for what he had done. So only one of them, although I'm sure they all were thankful and appreciated what Jesus did, only one of them came back and said thank you. So we want to be like that guy who doesn't just appreciate, all the things that we have, but we also want to show our appreciation, show our gratitude. So I'm going to sing a little song called "Thanks to God."
Thanks to God for boundless mercy from thy gracious throne above. Thanks for every need provided from the fullness of thy love. Thanks for daily toil and labor. for thorns as well as roses. Thanks for weakness and for health. Thanks for clouds as well as sunshine. Thanks for poverty and wealth. Thanks for pain as well as pleasure. Oh, thou sendest day by day, and thy word, our dearest treasure, shedding light upon our way. Thanks, O God, for home and fireside, where we share sweet communion, when by thee our souls are fed. Thanks for grace in time of sorrow, and for joy and peace in thee. Thanks for hope today, tomorrow, and for all eternity.
Now, there is quite a well-known song, which is a little bit hard to play on the guitar, so I'm not going to try singing it, but it's got an interesting story behind it. It's actually quite an amazing story. So this song was written by Martin Rinkart, and he lived in a very difficult time. So he lived in Germany in the first half of the 17th century. He lived in a time of wars, famine, and pestilence. He lived in the city of Eilenburg. Now, during one especially oppressive period, Rinkart conducted up to 50 funerals a day as a plague swept through the town, and as the 30 years' war wreaked its own terror on the people. Among those whom Rinkart buried were members of his own family. Yet, during those days of darkness and despair, when death and destruction greeted each new day, Pastor Rinkart wrote 66 sacred songs and hymns. Among them was the song, Now Thank We All Our God. So this pastor wrote this song when he'd gone through so much grief, way more than maybe we will ever know. And this song, the first verse says, Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voice, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. So even when we do have such hard times, when we trust in God, because God is always good, we can always rejoice. We can always be thankful. There's a Bible verse that says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So even if everything around us is not good, we can always be thankful because God is always good. Now I'm going to read you a story called Be Thankful. A lady once went up to a man at a railway station who had a beautiful dog with him. She knew that he was not spending his life for God, but just living for himself. So she began to fondle the dog, saying, What a beautiful dog you have here. Yes, said the man gruffly, but take care he don't bite you. He's not fond of strangers. Oh, he won't bite me. Dogs know who are fond of them. No doubt you are fond of him? Yes, I am. Do you feed your dog? Yes, ma'am. House him? Yes, of course. Does your dog obey your word of command? Yes, ma'am. And you would be disappointed if he didn't love and obey you? Yes, I should. Then looking proudly at his dog, but Rover does love his master, and he patted his dog's head as it looked trustfully into his face. Would you be grieved if he followed a stranger? Yes, he replied, rather impatient at so many questions. Ah, she said in a sad, reproachful tone, what a lesson that dog teaches you. God has fed you, housed you, cared for you, loved you these many years, but you don't love or obey him. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, and yet you have never loved him in return. You follow a stranger. Satan is your chosen master. The dog knows its owner and you do not know yours. She looked sadly, yet kindly at him as she spoke these words. His eyes filled with tears. He fixed them on his dog and in a choking voice said, Ah, Rover, Rover, you have taught your master a lesson. I have been an ungrateful sinner, but by God's help, I'll be so no longer. That evening, he was found for the first time in the prayer meeting crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And soon he was rejoicing in the knowledge of the forgiveness of his sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another person who learned to thank God for all God had done for him. Now here's another little story about a boy called Bonnell. Bonnell was a very bright little fellow, about 8 years old. But his father was not a Christian and they never had a blessing or a prayer asked at their meals. Pa, said Bonnell one day, Ma says that God made you. Did he, Pa? Yes, he made me. Well, Pa, are you glad he made you? Why, Bonnell, of course I am. What strange questions you do ask. The little fellow was evidently thinking about something which he could not exactly make out. Not long after this, Bonnell went on a visit to his Uncle Sam's. Uncle Sam was an earnest Christian, and he always asked a blessing at their meals. Besides, they had family prayers and the reading of the scriptures every day. This led Bonnell to think very seriously about these things and to wonder why his father didn't do as his uncle did. After his return home, the first time they were all sitting around the table at breakfast, he asked, Pa, what does Uncle Sam ask a blessing at the table for? I reckon it's because he wants to. Well, he says he wants to thank God for his dinner, but I told him you worked for your dinner and made it. God doesn't give it to you, does he, Pa? Well, yes, I suppose he gives me mine too. Bonnell looked in astonishment and then he went vigorously to work with his knife and fork. Presently he looked up again and asked, Pa, does God want Uncle Sam to thank him? Yes, child, I suppose he does. Then the little fellow was silent again. After a while he said, Pa, I'm mighty glad that God is not like you, for if he was, we should never get anything more to eat and then would starve. Why, Bonnell, what do you mean? I was just thinking that you would not let Sister have that apple the other day because she wouldn't say please. And if God was that sort of way, he would never give us anything more because we don't thank him as Uncle Sam does and say please. Be quiet, Bonnell, you don't know what you're talking about. Bonnell was quiet. The rest of the meal was eaten in silence. Bonnell's father went to his office to attend to the business of the day, but he could not forget what his little boy had said. It led him to see that he was not doing right and not thanking God for his many mercies. And to the surprise of his family, when they sat down to supper that night, he gave thanks. He thanked God for their food and asked his blessing upon it. But the change didn't end there. Bonnell's father couldn't rest until he had come to know the Lord as his Saviour. He became a happy Christian, and how often he must have thanked the Lord for little Bonnell's questions and for Uncle Sam's faithfulness. And there's another story, the story of the cat that said thank you. Away over in Africa lived a missionary family. 5 girls and 2 boys lived with their mother and father. The missionary family loved to tell the African girls and boys and their mothers and fathers about the Lord Jesus. They told them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, to die for them on the cross. The African people would clap their hands. That is the way they said thank you. As they listened to the story of God's love, they clapped their hands to say thank you to him. One day, the missionary family found a baby civet cat. A civet cat is a wild cat that lives in Africa and grows as big as a fox. It has grey fur with black bands and spots. They took the little cat home for a pet. It would go sniffing all around the rooms. They liked the little civet cat and fed it every day. But soon it wasn't little anymore, and because it was growing so big and it was a wild cat, they were afraid to keep it. One day they took it away off in the forest and let it go free. It had been gone a long time. Then one evening they heard scratching at the door. They opened the door and in came the big, big cat. He sniffed at each member of the missionary family. Then he jumped up on the missionary man's lap. One of the missionary children set a bowl of food on the floor. The civet cat jumped down and ate the food. Then he went from one to another of the family. He sniffed each one, patted them all with his great paw, and then went out of the door. They never saw him again, but they all felt that he had returned to say thank you. He was glad they had cared for him and fed him when he was a little kitten. This wild animal of Africa said thank you to the missionary family for their kindness. When the African people heard about the love of God and the Lord Jesus, they said thank you by clapping their hands. I wonder if you have ever thanked the Lord for his great love and care for you. Have you thanked him for dying for you on the cross? I'm going to sing a little song that I heard when I was a child, and it's called Let's Have an Attitude of Gratitude. Now, the person that I heard singing this when I was a child is a lady who's still alive today. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tarter. And when she was around 17, she had a diving accident and she became paralyzed. So she's lived all her life since then in a wheelchair. She's also had a lot of other problems as well, like cancer and chronic pain. But she sang the song called Let's Have an Attitude of Gratitude. Let's fill our hearts with praise. So I'm going to sing you this little song.
Attitude of gratitude, let's fill our hearts with praise. Thank you, Lord, we'll say to whatever comes our way. And with our attitude of gratitude, our lives will tell our friends that something special happens when Jesus lives within. Let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's fill our hearts with praise. Thank you, Lord, we'll say to whatever comes our way. And with our attitude of gratitude, our lives will tell our friends that something special happens when Jesus lives within.
So even if we have health problems like Johnny Erickson, we can still have an attitude of gratitude. And now I have some more stories. So back in 1988, a Polish railway worker named Jan Grzybski was hit by a train. He lived, but only barely. For the next 19 years, until the year 2007, Grzybski was in a coma. He awoke in 2007 to a whole new world. 19 years earlier, Poland was a communist state. Grzybski noticed that back then meat was rationed and there were huge lines at nearly every gas station. And there was only tea and vinegar in the shops. But 19 years later, he awoke to a free nation where he said there were people on the streets with cell phones and there are so many goods in the shops it makes my head spin. But something puzzled him. What amazes me is that all these people who work around with their mobile phones, yet they never stop moaning. These people had freedom and food and wealth greater than Poland had had for decades. And yet Grzybski woke from his coma to find that all they seemed to want to do was grumble. So if we don't get in the habit of thanking God for what we do have, we'll soon become ungrateful because of what we don't have. So being thankful can make such a difference to our lives. Now, this is a story about an African king. So I'm not sure if this is just a fable or what, but anyway, it teaches us something. So the story is told of an African king who had a close friend with whom he grew up. The friend had a habit of looking at every situation that ever occurred in his life, positive or negative, and remarking, "This is good." One day, the king and his friend were out on a hunting expedition. The friend would load and prepare the guns for the king. The friend had apparently done something wrong in preparing one of the guns, for after taking the gun from his friend, the king fired it and his thumb was blown off. Examining the situation, the friend remarked, as usual, "This is good," to which the king replied, "No, this is not good," and proceeded to send his friend to jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in an area that he should have known to stay clear of. Cannibals captured him and took him to their village. They tied up his hands, stacked some wood, set up a stake, and bound him to the stake. As they came near to set fire to the wood, they noticed that the king was missing a thumb. Being superstitious, they never ate anyone who was less than whole, so untying the king, they sent him on his way. As he returned home, he was reminded of the event that had taken his thumb and felt remorse for his treatment of his friend. He went immediately to the jail to speak with his friend. "You were right," he said. "It was good that my thumb was blown off," and he proceeded to tell the friend all that had just happened. "And so I'm very sorry for sending you to jail for so long. It was bad of me to do this." "No," his friend replied, "this is good." "What do you mean this is good? How could it be good that I sent my friend to jail for a year?" "Well, if I had not been in jail, I would have been with you and not here with you right now." So there's always something to be thankful for. There was an 8-year-old girl named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. When she was asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, "I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything." So that's an example of a very thankful girl. Now, Helen Keller, do you know who she is? She is someone who is both deaf and blind. So Helen Keller wrote to a famous preacher called Philip Brooks when she was just a child and reflected a spirit of thankfulness that characterized her life. This is what she said. "It fills my heart with joy to know that God loves me so much that he wishes me to live always and that he gives me everything that makes me happy. Loving friends, a precious little sister, sweet flowers in the warm sunshine, and best of all, a mind that can think and enjoy, and a heart that can love and sympathize." You know, if Helen Keller can be thankful, so can we. And now there's Fanny Crosby. She was a hymn writer. She wrote a lot of hymns. But when she was a baby, when she was very little, she became blind. And when she was 8 years old, she wrote a little poem. And she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that others don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." There's Matthew Henry. He was someone who studied the Bible and wrote a commentary of the Bible. He was once robbed by thieves and they robbed his pocketbook. I guess it's like his, his money. And this is what he wrote down in his diary. "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." So there's always something to be thankful for. Now, this is a neat story. There was a guy who wanted to sell his house. So he called his real estate agent and said, "I want to run an ad in the paper to sell my home. Get rid of it as quickly as you can. I'm tired of this old place." The agent said, "Tell me something about your home so I can run a good ad." The man told him how many rooms it had. It had carpet. There were expensive shrubs in the yard. He told him about some fruit trees in the backyard and many other advantages. He described the house in detail. When he finished, the agent said, "I'll read it back to you and you can tell me how it sounds." So he read the ad about this beautiful 3-bedroom home with 2 baths, a good stand of grass, fruit trees in the backyard, new roof, central air conditioning and a remodeled carport for 2 cars. He kept on reading until the owner stopped him. "Wait a minute, stop. That house is not for sale. All my life I've been wanting a place like that, but I didn't realize I had one until now. Now, in February 2000, Mozambique experienced its largest rainfall in more than 50 years. By March 2, there were an estimated 100,000 people who needed to be evacuated and around 7,000 people who were trapped in trees. One Mozambique minister named Samuel Naftal gave thanks to God and mosquitoes for saving his life. As Samuel, along with 16 other people, clung tightly to the limbs of trees for 2 days, he began to preach. All of them hoped his preaching would keep them alert to their surroundings. "I helped some people climb onto the roof of my house and climbed into a tree with others," said Pastor Samuel. "We saw televisions, furniture, and dead calves floating past. Everything was destroyed. The people asked me to preach to them so that they would stay awake. Today I thank God for the mosquitoes because they prevented me from falling asleep and falling into the water. I would have been simply swept away." So that guy was able to be thankful for mosquitoes because even mosquitoes can have a good purpose. So there is always something to be thankful for no matter how hard our life may be. Makes a big difference when we count our blessings. And somebody said, blessings brighten when you count them. So when you count your blessings, it's like, yeah, it's like they brighten. You kind of see how much you have to be thankful for. So I hope that you are a thankful person and most of all thankful to God, because everything good we have comes from Him.